Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports. Download the Superbook Sports Tennessee app today with Jason and John, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Mike Wall, former Pro Bowl offensive lineman. He played 11 seasons in the NFL. You should know it by now. Packers, Panthers, Seahawks. He's joining us regularly every Monday. We're lucky to have him. He's now a skill development specialist, founder, too, of ProcessToPerform.com, host as well of the On My Block podcast with former Packers great Amon Green. You can find him on Twitter at MikeWall68. That's W-A-H-L-E. Easy for me to say, Mike. Said I wasn't going to screw that up no more. Let me ask you this. I got plenty to ask you about, too, because Chiefs go down, Bills go down. But before we do that, my partner is a big Raiders fan. They're the only 0-3 team in the league at this point. What do you make of the Raiders, who obviously lose to the Titans yesterday with John in the building for it? What do you make of that Raiders? Is that a good team that just hadn't figured it out yet, or is that the biggest disappointment in the NFL and they got more disappointment ahead?
Yes and yes. They have all the competition they need. They have all the pieces they need to be competitive, even in the AFC West. When you look at the team right now, and Carr's been one of those players where I think last year he got a lot of credit for saying a lot of the right things in a tough situation. And he's certainly got the talent. If you're live watching him throw, he reminds you of Andrew Luck, the way he's like his throwing motion, how live his arm is. He's a big, powerful guy. He's accurate at times. It looks like right now, and I'm not just talking about Carr, and I'll be talking about Hunter Renfrow, Waller. They're just not on the same page, and they're probably not on the same page as their head coach, Josh McDaniel, as far as turning verbiage that they're used to into whatever he's saying to them now. So they might be running the same plays or very, very similar concepts, but whatever's coming through on that headset just doesn't quite sit right with what they've been doing in the past. And you can just see like the speed. It's not always the speed of play, but it's the speed of thought that gets you in trouble in the NFL.
You know, I was there, and it was a miserable day. You know, Rex Vera. I mean, you know how it is, right? When you go to see your team, we don't live in an NFL market, so this is, you know, I don't get to see the Raiders very much. And it was, I found it maddening that Derek Carr was happier to throw to Mac Hollins and Keelan Cole in the moments that mattered, rather than Davante Adams. At some point, if you're a quarterback, don't you just have to say, I'm going to go hell or high water, I'm going to 17 on this play?
You know, let me tell you this, just from experience, last year they were doing the exact same thing in the playoffs up in Green Bay, and everybody was furious about that. So right now, if you look at their roster, just between Davante Adams and Darren Waller yesterday, like, they have enough people, you can't double cover everybody. And so one of those two guys would be open. I know at the end of the game, you started looking at Waller in a couple of plays that didn't make sense as well. But when a guy like Davante Adams, with the roster that they have, Josh Jacobs in the backfield, they're slinging the ball around, have a tight end that can stretch the defense, for him to go 5 for 36, it's surprising, to say the least, right? With the kind of talent that he has, the acquisition that he is as far as picking him up in the offseason, everything you have planned for him, and the fact that they go way back, like 5 receptions, it really doesn't make any sense. And the other thing is with Davante Adams, he's all over YouTube and everything because he gets open. Like, he can beat anybody press coverage. He's got a very particular way he goes about his business, but he is too talented to only get 5 for 36 in a game. And I think Carr is way too talented to allow him to only get 5 for 36 in a game.
Mike, the Bills had looked so much better than everyone else. And if you, I mean, if you look at the yardage, you know, Josh Allen still put up numbers, everything else, but they do fall there to Miami. Did we, you know, this isn't to slight Miami because they're obviously a heck of a story now at 3-0, but did we learn anything in terms of how to slow the Bills down, or was that just a one-off? They get down there to Miami. That place is hot down there. You saw guys cramping up. They were also without six starters. Sort of, how do you round that one up?
I think what you just said makes a lot of sense to me. I've worked down in Miami. It's incredibly hot when you play there in September, and if you're coming from an out-of-market, it is. It has a real effect on you. I think it's probably worth 6 or 7 points. I think they muffed a punt and got the ball back on the get Miami ball on the 12-yard line going in early in the game. They're missing six guys, like you said. They have 400 yards passing. They hold the ball for 40 minutes. They run 90 plays. Yep. They're all over the field. But sometimes you just got to be able to finish. And I think Josh Allen had three fumbles or four fumbles yesterday. I think maybe the team had four fumbles. They gave away one of them, but those stopped drives. He obviously skipped the ball. From 4th and 2 or 4th and goal on the 2-yard line late. They had the field goal that they missed, and then they couldn't figure it out at the end. Ken Dorsey lost his mind, which was awesome to watch, by the way. But for me, this is just one of those games you lose every once in a while to a division opponent. I'm just honestly so impressed with the Miami Dolphins and what Mike McDaniel has brought to that team. You know, when they had Coach Flores, you could tell that they were building something special, but they were particularly doing on the defensive side. They've been a good defense for a couple of years. They just haven't had the offense to back it up. And now everyone's kind of getting to see, when you have an offensive mastermind who's a culture builder and a great communicator, what is capable of, like, when you put a lot of talented kids in the same room, what they're actually capable of. I think it's pretty awesome.
And now we know that the NFLPA is going to conduct their concussion investigation. Was there any doubt to you watching? It was kind of hard to watch, right? The way that he kind of got up and then stumbled, and you know,
body buckled.
He did come back in the game. What's coming, you think, for the Miami Dolphins here?
I have to believe that they went through whatever protocols are required by the NFL. I don't know how they get around that, especially with a player. If you're playing the quarterback position, you stumble on the field. And he says it's his lower back or whatnot. Like you have to go and say that you believe with, you know, everything that they've gone through the right procedures, because otherwise, guys, this has been the core argument, I think, by the NFLPA safety. I mean, public scrutiny. This has been the argument for the last decade.
Yep.
And for them to, I think, skirt. First of all, I just think it's totally irresponsible for us as general public to think that the Miami Dolphins are going to, like, put their starting quarterback out there when he's not ready to win one game. I just the third game in the season. Like, I really don't believe that. Maybe I'm naive, but I think better of people. And you know what I mean? Like, I just don't think it's possible that Tua Tagovailoa has a legitimate concussion situation and they don't put him through the proper protocols. I just don't think that's realistic. I think the Miami Dolphins, when you research this, you're going to find out that they did exactly what they were supposed to do. If they need to change the protocol and they need to, it's a blanket, he needs to go out of the game, and then we need to recheck him like 2 days later because there's swelling and everything that happens when you get a concussion, that maybe they're not seeing what they need to see, or maybe doing a visual test isn't good enough. But just from what is required by the National Football League, I have no doubt that the Miami Dolphins did exactly what was required by the National Football League to get that guy back in the game.
So for our audience, and even I think for Jason and I that are not familiar, like and maybe the protocol changed throughout your time in the NFL, was it a situation where they would pull you to the side or anybody to the side and they would ask like a series of questions? Like what does a concussion protocol look like in practice?
Well, it has changed a lot, I'll say that. It used to be a couple smelling salts and you shake your head a couple times. And if basically you just hold on to your helmet a lot harder, and then if the doctor tried to take it, you pull it back and get yourself back out there. So things have changed a lot. Nowadays, if you show signs, and they can do this up in the booth now. They have people that are actually watching the game that can say, no, listen, this person needs to come out. And they'll put you through a kind of what you just call a field test right now. Whether it's a series of questions, followed, you know, they obviously look at your eyes, how you're answering, what you're responding, the time you're responding in, how you're moving, how your body mechanics and movement are, and from there they're going to make a determination whether or not you're ready. You need further evaluation, or you feel fine, you're ready to go back in. Having gone through a couple of concussions myself, you as a player, you know something's wrong. You don't know exactly what it is at the time, but you know something's wrong. And so I would imagine if you feel that way, it's probably hard to mask it for a medical doctor, right? So, I don't think it's an exact science. They can't do a brain scan right on the field. They haven't been able to do a field test. But I would imagine at this stage, they have a pretty good idea whether or not these guys are good to go back in the game.
Mike, what do you make of the Eagles and just the way they are absolutely rolling, folks? You know, I've heard a couple of different things from the experts, both from that they got the best offensive line to you saw that defensive line yesterday getting after Carson Wentz. How complete a team are they? And is that an Eagles team that you think by the end of the season we're talking about one that's in an NFC championship game?
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly looks that way right now, and it's all because of their quarterback. He's playing at such a high level. I just love the energy he brings to the game. I love his leadership, the way he talks about not only himself and A.J. Brown as well as coming in and being thermostats, not thermometers, and really setting the tone and the temperature for that team. I just love everything he brings to it. Offensively, listen, their offensive line, you know, Jordan Mailata, that's one of those kids where, like, that's just the ultimate story of a kid getting kind of found out of nowhere and shows up now, 6'9", 350 pounds, can move mountains. Kelsey's been just one of the best centers in the league for years. Yep. Lane Johnson, obviously. I mean, they're just a really, really well-coached line. They've committed to something. And once you commit to the run like they did last season, you just get really, really good at doing certain things. And once you have that confidence and that identity, you can start building kind of backwards out of that. And I think that's what you're seeing right now is they have such a presence. They have such a confidence and they have such a demeanor when they come into a game as we can run it down your throat. We'll run it 50 times. We don't care. That now you're seeing the benefits of that this season with an improved Jalen Hurts and his ability to throw the ball, improved weapons on the outside, obviously. But when a defense comes in, it's like, what do we have to do first? Man, we got to stop the run. Otherwise, they're just going to ram it down our throat. So I love what they're doing defensively. You know, Carson Wentz is a guy that, you know, he's kind of struggling right now, I think, just in general. But 9 sacks is 9 sacks. That's an amazing effort. I'm glad I was never part of one of those games.
Yeah, we're talking to Mike Wall, former offensive lineman, Pro Bowl offensive lineman in the NFL, founder of Process to Perform. Check it out, process2perform.com. Monday Night Football tonight, New York Giants, 3-0. That have a ring to it?
I think so. I love Saquon Barkley. I love the group. You know, I love Daboll. I just think if you're going, you know, coach for coach, I think Daboll right now has got those guys believing. Mm-hmm. I just don't think there's a lot of teams in the National Football League that have culture by design, that have, like, I think there's very few people in the league leading organizations that have a combination of leadership, intelligence, and communication ability. And I think Daboll's one of those guys that you're going to see, you know, him and Mike McDaniel are two guys that are going to be rising up the ranks of that list very, very soon. And when you have that in your organization, when you've had a lot of high draft picks, you know, over the last couple of years, you haven't been very good. And they got Joe Shane running general manager right now. I've known him for a decade. He's an unbelievable football mind. I just think they're going to head in the right direction. I don't know if it's going to all pan out this year, but I think tonight you're going to see a team that's certainly on the up and up.
You know, it felt like Aaron and Green Bay had every chance to blow that game open, and Jones fumbles that ball beforehand. Looked like you were about to blow the game open there. But you did see still, even in an ugly game, that, look, Tampa Bay could have tied there at the end, set to overtime. You still saw that gleam in Aaron's eye, it felt like, afterwards, that it's starting to come together. And we'd ask, you know, we thought, are the Bears going to be just the antidote this team needs to sort of get them going? I don't know. It looked like I was starting to see it at the end of the game. Where are the Packers, you think, after this win over the Bucs? And I got to be honest with you. I know Tom is without some weapons, but I thought that defense played pretty well yesterday as well.
I thought the defense was excellent. In fact, I think the defense was the story of the game, actually, on both sides of the football. Aaron Rodgers, look, he was 1-3 the last four times down there, so getting a win over there, I think, is a big deal. Getting a win against Tom is a big deal, certainly. We know that Tampa is one of those teams, as a Green Bay Packer, that we're likely to see again come playoff time. Mm-hmm. The expectation for both these teams is Super Bowl or bust. Really, when you look at both these teams and kind of depleted at the wide receiver position, what both of them did, particularly in the second half, of being able to make some adjustments and completely dominate. Their defensive lines were completely dominant yesterday. Yeah. And I literally just watched this all 22 as I was getting on the phone with you guys. And on both sides of the ball, the box seven defenders for both teams were absolutely dominant yesterday. If you're a fan of defense, man, it was fun to watch. Both teams have some work to do on offense, but this is the NFL early in the season. Offenses aren't going to be where they need to be. Mm-hmm. If you have a great quarterback and you can kind of make a couple things, you know, make lemonade out of lemons for a couple plays here and there, got a guy like Aaron Jones. Like, you can just see the pieces coming together, certainly, in Green Bay. Dobbs having a big, you know, he had that first big play on the second and two. They ran a heavy play action. He ran the dig route, got open. That was a big play from a confidence standpoint, I think, not only for him, but for Aaron and the rest of the receiving core. They did fizzle out in the second half as far as the defensive pressure put on by Tampa Bay. But I have to say, having back Tiari back, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon running the ball the way they are, you know, there's some holes to fill, certainly, and we need to fill them. I don't think they're the best team in the NFC right now, but, you know, once you get to the dance, anything can happen when you got a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, so we just need to keep building.
You know, I'm a guy that really focuses on quarterback matchups, and we had one yesterday in L.A. with Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence. And I know that Justin Herbert has the ribs, but he was thoroughly outshined by the Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence. And let's not act like, you know, Trevor has this great line and he has these great core receivers. He's got Zay Jones, Marvin Jones, and Christian Kirk, and he thoroughly outshined Justin Herbert. So all the rib injury and all that being taken into account, what does that performance and who does that performance say more about yesterday, Justin or Trevor?
Trevor. Absolutely Trevor. You think about it, first pick in the draft, I don't know if there's been a guy, you know, has there been a guy that came with more fanfare than Andrew Luck, than Trevor Lawrence? And then, unfortunately for him, he gets stuck with Urban Meyer, first year of his professional career, and all the disaster that was the Jacksonville Jaguars last year. So getting Doug Peterson down there, I think, was huge for a guy like that. You know, I know Doug, he's a former teammate of mine, and he's a great leader and you know, obviously a very, very quarterback-friendly head coach, a guy that Trevor's obviously going to learn a lot from. That kid has an incredible amount of talent. Justin Herbert's one of my favorite guys in the league right now. He's playing through a very, very painful, rib cartilage. Listen, sometimes you just don't have the day you want to have.
Yep.
But yesterday was about, you know, if anybody had a coming out party yesterday, it was Trevor Lawrence, right? It's like, hey, welcome. I'm going up against arguably the best young quarterback in the NFL in Justin Herbert. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to steal the show. So I was really happy for him.
Hey, as a former Pro Bowler, real quick, Mike, what do you think? I saw what the NFL's going away from it. They're going to do the week and put up little competitions, but no game anymore. What would you have been for that back in the day? What did you think?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. The game's kind of a joke. Guys, honestly, it's one of those things where the Pro Bowl has kind of become it doesn't have the same pop and circumstance anymore. It's not in Hawaii, so what that really, they put it in I think Camping World Arena in Orlando or something the last couple of years. And so a lot of guys just don't show up. So I think there's like 80 Pro Bowlers every year instead of, the 50 that they probably should be deserving, or 44 that should be deserving.
Yeah.
So for me, I'd love, there's a couple things you'd love to do with an award like that, because it is an honor. You'd like to put it in the hands of the coaches and the players, maybe first and foremost. You'd like to have some sort of situation where maybe they go to Hawaii, or maybe they go to some place different every year, but they do a lot of community outreach and just get really involved in that community. I think that's an awesome idea. But certainly not having the game now and just letting these guys relax, hang out, spend time with one another, and kind of celebrate the moment is a big deal, because, gosh, there's just no reason to put your pads on unless you're going to go full speed. That's when people can get injured. I don't think there's any benefit to it, and certainly not easy. It's not easy on the eye. Nobody really likes watching that game. So I'm happy they did it.
By the way, Mike, as we have been on the phone here, Justin Herbert just lost his left tackle for the season, Rayshon Slater.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's terrible, man. He is such an incredible player. He was my top guy last year after watching him at Northwestern. He's an incredible athlete. He just walked in day one with technique, with everything he needed, leverage. They're going to miss him, because now they're going to have to operate a little bit differently to make sure his blind side's protected. There's not a lot of guys in the league as good as Rayshon Slater.
That's a blow, no doubt. Hey, Mike, man, we appreciate these
Thank
every
you so
week.
Much, brother.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Yep. He is Mike Wall, former Pro Bowl offensive lineman, founder of Process to Perform. Yeah, that is a AFC West, the only solace for me was that everybody lost yesterday in the AFC. Not the Broncos.
Not Denver.
That felt like a loss. They didn't lose. But the Chargers lost handily. And then the Chiefs lost to the Indianapolis Colts. Again, I don't expect anything from this team, but at least there were some
you know, commiserators there, I guess you could say.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.